Transcribed.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Chances on the shore falls of greed will never come to feel what.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great weekend. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, but it must get done, it will get done, because you'll see to it that it gets done. Right on. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate him. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program, once again, is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all times are Eastern times. On Thursdays, from 7 to 8, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Mississippi on the Move, 7 to 8 on Thursdays. Friday, this evening, at 8 p.m. this evening, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Okay, I'm going to dispense with the announcements. I have a guest, a very important guest, as always. So I'm going to go ahead and get off into the Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought and read these 3 days to you. That's right. February 29th. We have had our thinkers, our visionaries, our revolutionaries, and even our African sovereignties. We must not be afraid to listen, to think, and to act. We must honor them. My friend and good sister, Mama Marimba Ani. The successful outcome of our nationalist movement is sovereignty for African people. Let me repeat. The successful outcome of the movement is sovereignty for African people. Being sovereign means having absolute control over the life of the nation. Right now, as always, for African people, sovereignty is measured by how intelligently, independently, and powerfully we control our resources, our story, our culture, time, space, and destiny. It has to have the power within the nation to control our lives and to control them in our best interests, regardless of opposition from outside. Accordingly, being sovereign has to mean that there is no one beyond us
who makes any decisions about how we rule ourselves, how we live, what we believe, how we deal with enemies, whether aliens or traitors, and how we visualize our future and communicate and express that vision. It means that we are completely and consciously self-defining, self-determining, self-respecting, and self-empowered. And since no nation has ever risen to power and stayed there without holding their own tradition sacred, African sovereignty necessarily means that we know, respect, protect, and extend in time and through every coming generation. Who we are has a direct reflection of our ancestors. African sovereignty is our ultimate goal. Let me repeat. African sovereignty is our ultimate goal. So when one says, you know, I don't understand this, but what's the end game? Sovereignty. The end game for African people is sovereignty. Affirm. I listen to, think about, and act according to the thinking of our frontline visionaries. Affirm. I listen to, think about, and act according to our thinking of our frontline visionaries. March 1st. If you think you're beaten, you are. If you say you can't, you won't. Scott Joplin. Often under the disguise of finding better ways of tapping into their genius, we facilitate the weakening of our children's intellectual development. There are a wide variety of ways in which this occurs. Most often, the options we select for them are easier and therefore appear more attractive to them. Students tend to express a greater interest in them because they require less work and are seen as being more fun. We do not have time here to discuss how our children's spoilage is fundamental to the creation and implementation of these techniques and technologies. However, know that this intergenerational progressively weakened mentality requires that learning demands less and less work of them because the spoiled mind opposes work. That said, there are a great number of ways in which our catering to ease can create shackles on the genius of our children, all the while seemingly working to their educational advantage. One of them is saying that they are visual learners, something which should be obvious. The problem, however, is not their visuality. It is with us, allowing it to become the primary or only educational vehicle through which they learn, at the expense of reading. Reading, let me interject here, reading is the most important thing. The young people I worked with for many years, told them the most important thing you can do is learn to read. Learn to read with comprehension and understanding. That's even today. It will always be. It is reading with comprehension and understanding. The problem, however, is not their visuality. It is with us, allowing them to become the primary and only educational vehicle through which they learn at the expense of reading. We have to remember that the goal is to exercise their thinking, and thinking develops best through words. Moreover, greater thinking depth comes from contemplative study, from reading. In many ways, it is like the difference between watching a movie and reading the book from which the movie was based on. Relatively speaking, the former begets intellectual laziness, and we need thinkers. Ashe. We need thinkers. Affirm. I am never beaten because can't is not in my vocabulary. Affirm, I am never beaten because can't is not in my vocabulary. March 2nd. When you know that the life and the spirit of others depend on your life and spirit, you have no right to be afraid. Even when you are terribly afraid, in the cruel times that we're living through, we must find our own strength somehow and force ourselves to be hard. Omosheni. Warriors are not here to convince anyone of anything. They are not proselytizers and are well acquainted with the fact that they are casualties in every war. What they are here for is to support, through experience, through theory, a working knowledge of our timeless tradition and direct functional application in and all other warriors who have chosen to stand and to be African. Those who operate within Urugu social and cultural paradigm, who have fallen for their twisted racist ideologies, worldview, and interpretation of reality, who willfully and fully participate in any way, promote Yoruba's insanity, are of no concern to them, except to the degree that they become intentional obstacles to the warriors' actual work as frontliners. Our warriors' only work here is to speak and to speak African truth and be African truth. Those committed to alien ways are welcome to them as long as they do not interfere with this work. Treason, like loyalty, is a choice when truth is readily available. Warriors cannot make any African African. That is not their work. They know who they are and who they serve among the living, transitioned and yet to return. Their work is to be instruments of Ma'at, to activate karma, to return order and sovereignty to our people. Affirm, no fear stands in the way of my work. Ashe. Affirm, no fear stands in the way of my work. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yeah, let's get ready to welcome my good brother. This young man has been throwing down information and memes and so forth for many years. And his message is consistent and is clear. Brothers and sisters, Franklin Jones, the Black People's Matrix. Good morning.
My brother, it's always an honor to be on your program.
Well, I appreciate today, you. Brother,
I'm going to respectfully move past the pleasantry and instead open with a 2-minute speech that sets the tone for today's broadcast. May I do so?
Please do. Thank you.
White governments don't want intelligent, critical thinking Black populations. They instead only want Black populations that are just smart enough to work, pay taxes, fill their sporting arenas, entertain them, and fight within their wars, but that are dumb enough to believe that we made the N-word ours and that using it ridiculously empowers us. Dumb enough to believe that a Bible written by history's proven most ungodly group of people contains the true words of God. Dumb enough to believe that a Bible brutally beaten into the blood-soaked minds of our enslaved ancestors will now set us free. Dumb enough to believe that we're being controlled by city slave syndrome myth, which presents what would in fact be the least effective method used for controlling generations of people. Dumb enough to believe that we're suffering from a generational curse, when in reality, our collective condition are results of hidden nefarious subjugation tactics that white oppressive forces deploy against us for maintaining their dominance over us. Dumb enough to believe that all the negative things that the white society says about us are true, although the white society has never earned our blind trust, nor have they ever earned the credibility to control our narratives. They also want Black populations that are dumb enough to revere Black rappers, that gets upon global media platform, denigrating and criminalizing our image before the entire world. Dumb enough to believe that we African Americans are not from Africa, although countless millions of DNA analysis have scientifically confirmed our African identity. Dumb enough to believe that we're our worst enemies, in spite of overwhelming amount of evidence proving that white oppressive forces are still our worst enemies. We must stop believing in things that insult our intelligence. Our core problem is that the ignorant and mentally enslaved ones have been made overconfident, and the intelligent ones have been made self-doubting and therefore remain silent. This silence allows the beliefs of the ignorant and mentally enslaved ones to prevail throughout the black communities, mentally enslaving our black masters, thus hindering our liberation. Whenever we, black people that awaken, allow ignorance to go unchecked, we're literally supporting the white society's mental enslavement of our people. This is why those who know must teach. We must speak the truth even if the ignorant and mentally enslaved ones hate us for doing so. We must teach the truth whether it fills the room or clears it out. We must post the truth whether we're blocked for it or unfriended for it. We must teach the truth regardless of who it offends, because we are called by our ancestors to awaken the sleeping sheep, not to entertain the damn goats. A speaker of truth has no friends.
I say. That's right. Especially in an environment and in a world of liars.
Exactly.
Because that's what we're in a world of liars. Only in a
White society is kind of sown of lies, and our people have been conditioned to accept those lies as facts.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you can have a man who's an habitual liar, who has done some crazy stuff that you've seen right before your eyes, and yet is allowed to run for the highest office in this country. And people foolishly donate and give money to his cause, who is allegedly a billionaire. If he's a billionaire, he don't need nobody's money. But yet, of course, he's not, because he's a liar. And so, therefore, he must shake down those who he can. It's a damn shame.
Yes.
It really is. It's a goddamn shame.
It's a damn shame, but I'm going to say this. I am glad that he came on the scene. You know why I'm glad he's on the scene?
Why?
Because the illusion, the white society had the illusion.
Right.
Of their
yes.
Okay. And this idiot came and he right. destroyed it. Does yep. he single-handedly have eroded the image of white superiority, white no intellectual doubt. Superiority, white moral superiority.
Right.
And all the idiots who follow him, it's become apparent. It's apparent to the world, you know, the facade, the white makeup they've given themselves,
mm-hmm.
it's falling to the wayside. People are now right. seeing who they truly are, and we're watching their empire crumble. When my oppressors are at odds with each other, I'm pleased.
I am too, I
when
say.
When I see the of my oppressors crumbling, I am pleased.
Mm-hmm.
I am not fooling myself to say that because I am a part of that system that I will not be affected by the crumbling of the empire.
Oh, no, you will be.
I am pleased.
Right.
But I am pleased to see them crumbling, seeing their narcissistic behavior turn in on itself. The white man has the narcissistic proclivity for always greed.
Mm-hmm. Hello? What the hell?
Maybe recorded or transcribed.
Against us. So I'm watching their proclivities being turned in on themselves, and I smile while watching so.
Yes.
And the fact that Donald Trump also proves that white privilege exists, because there's no way possible that a non-white person could have done what he did and still be getting the votes he's getting, still be able to run for president. No. It shows white privilege.
Yes. And it's real. And even though that has been stated for decades and denied by Caucasians because they want, you believe there's no such thing as white privilege. Because they want the people to believe that this is a society based on merit. This is a meritocracy. And that people who have applied themselves, people who have prepared themselves, those individuals, you know, they rise.
See? Yes. Donald Trump's presidency, him coming on the scene, has helped my lectures. When I'm teaching people, people who otherwise would not be receptive to what I'm teaching have become receptive because they're seeing things in real time. For example, they talk about the hypocrisy of the Christians, what they call the evangelicals, who are they're so racist, but they're Christians. And then I use that to say that that's always been that way. And I would teach people that on Sundays, the white people would go to church on Sunday morning and they'd have lynchings on in the evening, Christians. I would remind them that the white enslavers were most often Christians. So this hypocrisy that we're seeing among them in real time is the way they always were. So our people who were brainwashed to see them through the image makeover, now you're able to show our people in real time. Even, for example, the governor of Florida, when he thought he is whitewashing of history, now we have the black masses talking about it. But now when I teach, I show the black masses that the history has already been whitewashed. They're now conscious of it. They're seeing it in real time. So this situation is lifting our people's minds from the slumber that they've been in. So I smile when it all comes out because our people, I have family members who always says, Frank, you're racist. Why do you like white people? Now those people, please just call me that. They say, okay, Frank, I see what you're saying. They're now more receptive. They're now more understanding. So I see the effect that Donald Trump's presidency has had on the racist whites, but I also see the effect it's had on the brainwashed black people. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the awakening. There's an awakening that's happening. I've even seen the effect where many white people who would suffer from a narcissistic sense of believing that they're better than everyone coming to the realization that we're the bad guys, we're the villains, we're the evil ones. There is an awakening that's happening. And so I don't get frustrated when I see the idiotics from Trump. I just watch this system turning on itself. I watch the evil manifestation of the white society showing itself.
Right.
For a long time, they had, through their media propaganda campaigns, they had vilified and denigrated black people, and they created a setting, it's called a shifting of victimization, where they made it appear as though white racism toward black people is justified because of our behavior. And they created a setting where they're the good guys and we're the bad guys. But now the world is seeing the truth. Also, the fact that we now have cell phones, we have internet, are all narratives are being spread. And the truth is prevailing. The truth is prevailing. There used to be a time when most African Americans hated, was ashamed of Africa. Many Africans on the continent felt that all Africans were buffoons, thugs. But now that we're able to speak our own narratives, we're able, the world, there's an awakening. There's an awakening. During George Floyd's death, African leaders got on the national television and said, African Americans, we welcome you, come back, come back. All start doing it. There's a global growth that's happening. So when I don't get frustrated when I'm watching the white empire crumbling, fighting among themselves, the internal fighting. When they attack the Capitol, I was smiling. Yes, we see who they truly are. We are seeing the barbarians. The world is seeing them. So I'm pleased. Totally pleased.
Ashe, I agree. You know, I'm totally pleased because the fact is that the more we understand who they are, Urugu, the better we understand who we are and what we must do. That's why the real push, and I emphasize consistently, as Baba Baruti does in his writings, sovereignty for African people. We're talking about there is no dealings at all with these folks. Number one, they have proven over the history of time. That's like, as Malcolm said, of all our studies, history is best qualified toward our research. Looking at the history of Europeans and their relationship to us and how they have dealt with us, how they've manipulated, how they've lied, how they've stolen from us, how they've labeled us, as you said earlier, inferiors and buffoons and have no culture to speak of, but yet our art is filled in their museums to the point that when we call them on it to return it, they say, no, I'm not going to return all this stolen art I got from you. You can borrow it.
Yes. Their hypocrisy is glaring.
Yes.
And we're seeing it, you know. And what's great, once the cat's out of the bag, you can't put it back in. We see the truth. We see the lie. We see the hypocrisy. They sit upon a throne of lies. The liberating of our minds begins realizing that all information that we receive from the white society are lies designed to make us think in ways that give them greater power and control over us. We must recognize everything from white society is a lie.
Right.
History has been whitewashed to make them appear more significant to our history than they truly were. Media is manipulation. Education is indoctrination. Entertainment is distraction. We must teach our people these facts, and that's how our people we will liberate ourselves collectively.
Mm-hmm. Because
black
that,
people.
That is the challenge for us. That is the challenge for us, is the assistance in the liberation of the minds of African people globally.
Yes.
And probably some of the toughest ones to do that are the ones here, because
yes.
of the constant bombardment of all these images and notions of our inability, but the superiority of them, and the belief that we too belong here. This is just as much ours as it is theirs.
There is a mind hack that we can use, we must use, to awaken our people. And it's a mind hack that an automatic response within the human psyche. And it's this. When human beings know of danger, they remove themselves from the danger. It's an inherent response within the human body, the human psyche. Once we teach our people the danger that we're in, how our minds are being manipulated, what's being done against us, once our people are given a concise understanding of what's being done to us, the awareness of it forces them to try to remove themselves from the danger. So the what we must do is learn the truth and teach it to our people. And the truth is like a virus within the system of the white supremacy. Because once the truth is seen, once it's understood, it can't be unseen, it can't be unheard. Once the mind is expanded to a greater radius, it never returns to a smaller size. We learn the truth and we teach our people the truth. If there was no power in speaking the truth, the white man would have not have killed Stephen Biko. He would not have killed Malcolm X. He would not have killed Dr. King. He would not have killed those who speak the truth. There's power in the truth. We must learn the truth. So often right now, many of our people are drowning in disinformation because the white man spreads so much disinformation into our community. We must learn the truth and teach the truth. And the truth has a power all of its own. The truth functions at a higher level. Teach it. Let's learn the truth and teach it. And we will see our people waking up. And in reality, there are millions of us who are woke. But here's the deal. The white society knows to not give a platform, a national media platform, to those who are awakened.
Right.
They don't want the ideology spreading. So when we look at the window on white media, we say, damn, why people ain't waking up? God damn it. We get frustrated. But we don't recognize that the white media's depiction of our people is not our reality. It is a perception management system that aids to maintain white social dominance. It is not our reality. We must learn these signs. We must learn the real world in order to free ourselves.
Right.
Black people will never liberate ourselves using outdated foot march strategies against modern white racist systems. We must elevate our tactics to match the sophisticated tactics that are presently deployed against us. The system that we're currently under was implemented in 1968, 1969. Remember after the Kerner Commission studied the African American population,
right?
And they said they find out what was the cost for the unprecedented black protest and develop remedies to stop it. We are now under the system they implemented to prevent unified black protest. We are existing under that system until we recognize the system that we're under and then develop kind of strategies against it. Like, for example, you know what they term about African American community? They said they were instructed to find our greatest strength and attack it unrelentingly, and to find our greatest weakness and exploit it unrelentingly. Mm-hmm. They found our greatest strength was our unity.
Our family, yes.
With black and black crime.
Yes.
They determined that our greatest, most exploitable weakness was the fact that we were stripped of our true identity and culture. They exploited by socially engineering us to talk up niggas, bitches, and hoes. You see? That our weakness, we were stripped of our identity. People who are stripped of their identity and culture are more susceptible to negative media social engineering. So today we're walking across up niggas and bitches, and we're more divided any time in history is because of the tactic they deployed against us. We must wake up to this. As long as we sit around reading our Bible and saying that this, they have all these distractions in our community. We must learn the truth and speak the truth and teach the truth.
And to me, that's probably the entity that keeps our mind in that vice grip, keeps our mind locked, is the theology.
Yes.
Is the theology more than anything, because it continues to instill in us a belief system that is outside of ourselves, and that it is given to us in a way that we felt and we think it speaks to us. This is our story. You know, just like when they looked at the Exodus story, you know, which never happened. Everything in the Bible, is not not true. It's not true historically.
The Bible is not a history book.
It is not a history book. Okay. If you want to look at it as literature, you go ahead and do that, because that's all that shit is literature. If there's some eloquence in there that you read out of that, you know, and how things are formed and these and thousands, fine. But it's not a history book. It is not our story.
I'm glad that you mentioned Exodus, because there are so many hypocrisies. There are so many holes in the ideology of Christianity that if it was a boat, you can never take it out to sea till it sinks to the bottom. There's so many holes in it.
Yeah, you're right.
In Exodus, those who say that we in America are the people found in Exodus,
right?
Check this out. According to Exodus, it says after 400 years, God will free them, remove them from bondage. And those who believe it says there's a true word of God and it's going to happen. This year marks their 405th anniversary since the first Africans were brought enslaved to America. So we've already exceeded the timeline in the Bible.
Right, we've exceeded that time.
That showed the Bible, the Bible is a work of fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the ancient kingdom of Egypt was built not by any enslaved Jews. The ancient radiocarbon dating has scientifically proven that the ancient kingdom is older than before the first Jew was allegedly born. The story of Shem is thousands of years old. When Egypt was built, Egypt was older than the story of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve existed between 6,000 to 8,000 years ago. The Great Sphinx is much older than that. It's a total work of fiction. Now, people understand the work of fiction in it. Also, when you look at the Bible also uses a tool to subjugate women to an inherent second subordinate class. And many women believe that they are the subordinate to men because the Bible says that. The Bible says that a man came first and a woman came from a man's rib. But they have found mummies in Egypt that's older than the Bible storyline of the birth of Eve. Proven Eve was not the first woman. They found bodies in Africa, millions of years old, of a woman. But our people function based upon the prevailing narrative. And this is an example of how if you create a narrative, and you can control everyone who believes the narrative. No woman has ever come from the rib of a man. And there's no evidence that a woman is subordinate. In the ancient African tradition, they taught that we have roles. and they use the description of the hand. The palm of the hand can be used to caress, to fondle, to massage. The back of the hand can be used to fight into a fist. But they are both, they have different functions, but none is inferior. If you have a situation where you're respecting each other in a relationship, respecting your roles in a relationship, that's a better relationship.
That's right.
Not subjugating your woman.
Right.
That is foolish. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting down making a business plan for your future and your woman has a plan, you have a plan, look which plan is best. If her plan is better, say, okay, baby, we're going with yours. But see, we have been conditioned by white male sexism. The white society is filled with sexism and racism, and we've adopted their sexism.
And that's who they are.
If you go to the African, way, you'd realize,
right.
You know, even they colonize the African, there's sexism there now. But in ancient ways, it was the method of not using the religion, not saying a woman was subordinate.
Well,
that's why we've had queens ruling nations. We've had queens going into battles.
And see, that's the problem with Africa on the continent is because they have bought the theology
of the white man.
And that the Caucasians better way of doing things in their governance.
Yes.
We have a hell of a lot of work to do to free ourselves of this ignorance, you know, that we have put ourselves under based on what these Caucasians have brought to us, you know, and in their belief. And to me, it's crazy because, once again, say, look at the history. Their history has been violence towards us. Their history has been murder. To me, when you look at what they did to take Africa, to colonize Africa, and how they subjugated the people, imprisoned them, beat them, killed them, taken them from their homes and marched them across hundreds of miles to dungeons on the coast to be shipped here in this hemisphere to slave from can't see in the morning to can't see at night. I'm telling you, I mean, I know we're forgiving people, but this shit is ridiculous.
No. It's our case is not that we've forgiven them, nor is it that we're suffering from collective amnesia. As some people have said, we have been socialized. Socialized is when the dominant culture exploits their monopoly over information that are fed into the mind of the subordinate population, the oppressed. Regardless of how intelligent people are, if it's possible to control the information that's fed into their mind, it's entirely possible to control what they'll believe. The white society exploits its monopoly over information that's fed into our minds to manipulate our minds to think in ways that benefit themselves. They have conditioned us. This is not a theory. This is a fact. It's called socializing. And the dominant, those who've been socialized rarely learn that they've been socialized. We have been socialized to the white society's monopoly over information that are fed into our minds. And they condition us to revere them. And it's happening all the time. You know, when you watch those movies, and we're constantly watching those movies, and we're seeing the white savior, the white hero, the white guy saving the world. Or when we're watching those television shows, those reenactment detective shows, so often we're seeing crimes, black-on-black crime, and we see a white detective coming and investigating and solving the crime, bringing relief to the black family. So we're slowly being conditioned to perceive ourselves as our worst enemy and to revere the white society. Mm-hmm. We're not conscious of what's happening to us because it's gradually happening. Whenever you're always watching the superhero movies, the white superheroes, the white saviors of the world, the white Jesus Christ, we have been conditioned to revere them. Mm-hmm. We are not functioning or interacting with the white society based upon an accurate interpretation of our history shared between ourselves and the white society. We are interacting based upon the makeup they've embedded into our minds. Mm-hmm. And that's why, say, Donald Trump's presidency has brought all this ugliness up and has brought me the brainwashed black people has opened their eyes. We're seeing them for who they truly are. Many black people have told me, now, we're our worst enemies. We're our worst enemies.
I hate that.
Even Jesse Jackson was making a speech, and this is a so-called black leader. And that's what Jesse Jackson said in the 1980s. He said, there's nothing more humiliating than I'm walking down the street at night and I'm hearing steps behind me and I'm afraid think it's a black man behind me. Mm-hmm. And when I turn around and see him as a white man, I'm now relieved.
Mm.
Jesse Jackson said, you can't turn around and he said he's relieved to see him as a white man. Many of our people don't realize that we have been conditioned.
Right. Because prior to that, we knew that if you were walking down the road and there's a Caucasian, that could be your death. And that could be your death without any repercussions, without any restitution, without any justice. He could just kill your ass.
Yes.
And then can keep on stepping. When Jack Johnson was the heavyweight champion, and of course, white people hated him. They just, oh man, the hatred for him was so deep. In fact, there's a documentary called Unforgivable Blackness.
Yeah.
The Jack Johnson documentary is called Unforgivable Blackness. Because why? He won the heavyweight championship. He was kicking them crackers in the ass, and he was dealing with white women. And he was dealing with white women. Oh, man. So they got to find the great white hope. And so when he won, even though we rejoiced, but the danger of it was that Caucasians were so goddamn mad that they would kill us.
Yeah.
You know, if I said, here, son, I want you to take these greens and go down the road to your auntie house and give her these greens, and she got some soap that I need. Okay, so you go down there. Jack Johnson just won the championship a day before, whatever, and these crackers are still mad. He goes down the road, he encounters two or three Caucasians, and they kill him. They kill my son. They string him up, you know.
Yeah. Now, here's how the white society, and we look at that history, and you look at our people's functioning. Clearly, we are not functioning based upon an accurate interpretation of our history. We are not functioning based upon the reality.
Right, we are not.
Now, the white society keeps millions of black people mentally enslaved by constantly inundating us with black-on-black violence propaganda that makes us fear each other. Fear is one of the most powerful human emotions, and it can be used as a tool to manipulate others. No passion so effectively robs the mind of all its power and acting and reasoning as fear. Those in positions of power, past and present, have effectively used fear to control certain aspects of society. The reason why they only show black tragedy about ourselves in the news is because doing so makes us fear each other. Fear is one of the most powerful human emotions. When gripped with fear, unreal or imagined, the higher cognitive capacity, they're able to manipulate us to believe that we are our worst enemies and it's only they who can protect us. The white society have manipulated many black people to believe that we are our worst enemies and it's they who can protect us from ourselves. This is what they deliberately did. And as I said back in 1968, this is a part of how they destroyed black unity. They made us fearful of each other.
Mm-hmm.
When we're watching the news, we keep seeing black and black crime, black and black crime, black and black crime. We don't realize that we're being subliminally programmed. Our people's minds are thinking that we're being programmed by a damn silly slave syndrome myth, when we're being programmed through unrelenting media subliminal propaganda campaigns. You keep showing black-on-black crime over and over, over and over. Example, you notice, like, back to those reenactment TV shows. Now, if you notice when you watch those reenactment TV shows, you'll notice a high percentage are black-on-black crimes being investigated by white people. But here's the deal. FBI data shows that most violent crimes in the U.S. are committed by white people. African Americans make up 13.5% of the black population in the U.S., but 67% of those programs are showing black crimes. So when the producers go inside the law enforcement office to get data to make films up, they're deliberately pulling black crimes, and you keep showing the black crime, and it causes the black viewer to believe we are worse enemies, we are worse enemies, and you'll hear black people say, "I'm still white people, I'm still my own people." They have done this to us.
Mm-hmm.
There's also something called a self-fulfilling prophecy. A self-fulfilling prophecy is when you condition people to believe something that's false, and they start acting upon it. So they have us believing that we're our worst enemy, and now we function based upon that we're our worst enemy. They keep our collective aggression shifted from the white society and redirected towards ourselves. No black person is able to confirm their negative assessment about our race. based upon their own experiences. They do so because the white man's propaganda has been fed into their minds. Now they think they've confirmed it themselves, but they have not. It's not humanly possible to accept collective state of millions of people based on one person's experience. The white man has been, the white man exploits his monopoly over. There are four ways to manipulate the human brain: by what we're taught, by what we see, by what we hear, and through repetition. The white man exploits his monopoly over the education we're taught, the media images we see, the sound that we repetitively hear, to manipulate our minds to think in ways that serve to protect his interests. This is why we think as we do. This is why we think in ways that benefit the white society. Whenever the oppressed start thinking and behaving in ways that benefit the oppressors, it's always an outcome created by the oppressors. We are under a system that most of us don't understand. And the reason why it prevails, because we no longer have true black leaders. The black leaders that we have, I compare them to a lifeguard, right? Who's only allowed to save people at the end of the pool, but those at the deep end, you don't let them drown.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The white establishment, the leaders today, they're allowed to show up when a black person gets killed by a cop, but they're not allowed to protest the system of white supremacy as our old leaders did. They're puppets. They give the illusion. Since there's no leader telling us how to confront white supremacy, we don't recognize what's happening to us. We don't know what's happening to us in our schools. We are being socialized in our education development to accept white dominance over our lives. That's why they don't teach us anything about ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's a social science. Because in order for a dominant group to maintain their position of dominance, you must deny the oppressed of a racially affirming education. This conditions the oppressed to accept their subordinate status within a society dominated by their oppressors. We are being socially engineered every day, but there's no leaders to talk about it, and our people are drawing so much disinformation to prevent us from confronting it. Now, I know sometimes you may say that, our people are messed up. But the fact that they work so hard behind the scenes unrelentingly, it shows that we have the potential of freeing ourselves. Mm-hmm. The fact that they put billions of dollars in manipulating us, if we didn't have the potential to free ourselves, they wouldn't be working so damn hard behind the scenes to keep us mentally enslaved. So therefore,
They work hard as hell. You know. And our problem is... And our problem is the fact that all these stereotypical things from our interaction with Caucasian, with Urugu, has all had a detrimental effect on us from the very beginnings, particularly here in this country, from the imagery of us being coons and Sambos and lazy. The image of us being timid and scared and afraid, the image of us being no fit fathers and gangsters and no fit mothers and hoes and hoochies, all of these things that they did to us, and we have gone along with it. We bought into it. We acted out.
And it's been eroded. Their power has significantly eroded in a significant way. Remember I talked to you about Dubrinsky, the political scientist, Dubrinsky, the Poland American, who was the one who told Jimmy Carter everything must be done to keep Africans through our diaspora divided globally? Remember the same man?
Yeah. Zygmunt Brzezinski was an evil, evil-looking man.
Said. Yes, he's the one who said everything must be done to keep Africans divided. Exactly. As long as Africans are divided, we will never be able to overcome global white supremacy. Yes. Now, here's what he said before he died. He, as you know, he is a counselor to Western leaders around the world. Mm-hmm. Here's what he said. He said, never before in history have the white leaders been more in fear than they are now. He said, they are fearful now because this is the first time in history since they invaded Africa that they are no longer controlling all the narratives. Mm-hmm. He said their power was that they control the narratives. They tell you what to think. They tell us what to think. But since now we have the internet, thanks to a Nigerian scientist and an African-American scientist. A Nigerian scientist invented a supercomputer that allows us to have the internet, and an African-American scientist developed what's called .com that allows everyone to access the internet. So these two Africans are why we now have it. But he said, because this, now we're able to see our own narrative. We're able to communicate with our own people. Every time when we see all Africans on screen, we was always seeing the white man's interpretation of Africans. Mm-hmm. We watched Tarzan, and we see these buffoons jump around, gumma. When the Africans saw us in America, they saw these guys dressing like pimps, and we were not seeing ourselves. We were seeing caricatures of ourselves as controlled by the white man. Mm-hmm. Now we're able to contact with each other, share each other's conversation, dialogue. So now we're able to teach each other, share our own narrative. And we know we are one people. We know we are one people. So therefore, now the white man has lost that monopoly. That's why the Rockefeller said, the worst thing to happen to the world was the invention of the internet. All the powerful billionaires are saying the worst thing to happen to the world was the invention of the internet. Why those in power that's the worst thing? Because now they don't control all the narrative. They don't mm-hmm. control all the information. Information is power. There's a tactic called information warfare. The white man has always used information warfare to maintain his dominance over black people.
Right.
Like when he called Egypt the Middle East and right. said that they were built by Europeans, he created that narrative and he imposed it. He made all greatness appear as his and made his failures appear as ours because he controlled the narrative. But now our people are waking up. Our people now know that the first aircraft was not the one done by the Wright brothers, but 3 years early by an African American. Our people know that when Thomas Edison did the light bulb, no one purchased it because it didn't work. It was an African American whose light bulb was purchased and sent around the world. Our people are knowing that the first automobile was invented by a black man. Our people now know that in spite of cultural traumas wrought by the invention of racism, most inventions that revolutionized the world were invented by black people.
Mm-hmm.
Our people now know that in order for a black man to get his pattern mass produced, he has to go for a white company. The white company takes the rights of it and put white faces in front of the product.
Mm.
Creating the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So the white man was unable to conceal our athletic superiority because he can't. The football field, the basketball field, but
right.
what he can conceal is our intellectual abilities because he controls our narratives. So since he couldn't conceal our physical abilities, he said, okay, then we'll make him look one-dimensional. We'll make it look like they have bronze with no brain. So they keep telling us that we're the dumbest. We're the lowest IQs. They put all this, and we start to believe it. But it's totally untrue. Most inventions of the revolutionized world, even doing slavery. Slavery was inventing things that a white man took patents for. After slavery was abolished in America, 726 patents were submitted to the patent office of African newly freed men.
That's just like, I don't believe that Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin. Crackers didn't invent shit because they didn't have.
Hell no.
You know, because why would they invent something that would be a benefit? No, they didn't give a damn. They were just lazy ass. They just constantly making money.
Of course.
But for us, under our captivity, we were always trying to find a better way to do things.
Yeah.
You know? More ingenious.
The most mentally enslaved black people are those who speak negatively about our people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? When I hear, you're damn clueless. You're totally clueless, you know? And I even check Africans who come to America, putting down African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I met an African, a guy from Germany, half German, half African,
mm-hmm.
and he came here. And he comes here and he's putting down African Americans. And I checked him. I said, "You don't know shit about African Americans. If you knew their true narrative, you would kiss their feet." But I don't blame you because most African Americans don't know their true narrative.
Right.
The white
right.
society denigrates the image of African Americans. And as a means of maintaining their social dominance, that's how they make us. All societies function based on the narrative that's fed into our society, and the society that the white society is falsely scripted to propagate white superiority and black inferiority. Our society functions based on those narratives rather than the true reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real matrix. People function based upon their narrative, and the narratives of the federal society are designed to maintain and uphold the system of white supremacy.
Well, listen, I'm going
to
take a break.
I'm
going
to
take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to open up the phone lines for brothers and sisters to ask whatever questions or comments or concerns that they may have. Brother, I appreciate you so much, man. Brothers and sisters, we're talking today with Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People's Matrix. And I like that opening that you gave. In fact, when we come back,
yes.
from the break, I want you to give it again, okay?
No problem, brother.
All right. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take a break. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
That's what I think about when I think about love.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. My guest today is the Black People's Matrix, Brother Franklin Jones. And I hope that you're enjoying this conversation. You can join this conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. My brother, how you doing?
Doing fine. You want me to do the intro again?
Yes, please.
Okay. So white governments don't want intelligent, critical thinking Black population. They said only want Black population that are just smart enough to work, pay taxes, fill their sporting arenas, entertain them, and fight within their wars, but that are dumb enough to believe that we made the N-word ours and that using it ridiculously empowers us. Dumb enough to believe that a Bible written by history's proven most ungodly group of people contains the true words of God. Dumb enough to believe that a Bible brutally beaten into the blood-soaked minds of our ancestors will now set us free. Dumb enough to believe that we're being controlled by a silly slave syndrome myth, which presents what would in fact be the least effective method for controlling generations of people. Dumb enough to believe that we're suffering from a generational curse, when in reality, our collective conditions are the result of nefarious subjugation tactics that the white society deploys to maintain their dominance over us. Dumb enough to believe that all the negative things that the white society says about us are true, although the white society has never earned our blind trust, nor have they ever earned the credibility to control our narrative. They also want Black population that are dumb enough to revere rappers that get up on a global media platform, denigrating, marginalizing, and criminalizing our image before the entire world. Dumb enough to believe that we African Americans are not from Africa, although countless and millions of DNA analysis have scientifically confirmed our African identity. Dumb enough to believe that we're our worst enemies, in spite of an overwhelming amount of evidence proving that white oppressive forces are still our worst enemies. We must stop believing in things that literally insult our own intelligence. Our core problem is that the ignorant and the enslaved ones have been made overconfident, and the intelligent woke ones have been made self-doubting, and therefore remain silent. This silence allows the beliefs held by the ignorant and the enslaved to prevail throughout our communities, mentally enslaving the masses. When we Black people that are awakened allow ignorance to go unchecked, we're literally supporting the white society's mental enslavement of our people. This is why those who know must teach. We must speak the truth, even if the ignorant and mentally enslaved ones hate us for doing so. We must teach it, whether it fills the room or clears it out. We must post the truth, whether we're blocked for it or unfriended for it. We must teach the truth regardless of who it offends, because we are here to awaken the sleeping sheep, not to entertain the ignorant and mentally enslaved goats.
Ashe. Ashe. Thank you, dear brother. Yeah. Oh, we have a caller, Brother Paul.
Good morning, Baba, Ochi, and good morning to our guest.
Good morning, Brother Paul. Oh, the pleasure to hear you. And thanks for the stuff you send me. Thank you.
You're welcome, our brother. You know, when I was listening to you, I thought about something you said previously about the name the name your beautiful parents blessed you with. And what I want to ask you is this, my brother. Do you see yourself as a teacher?
Yes, I do.
There's a Kemetic name, they refer to it as Sabah. It means the teacher.
Right. Sabah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Baba Ochi, the elder, my elder, do you think that name is fitting of our brother Franklin Jones?
Oh, no doubt. There is no doubt. Very
please
fitting.
Please spell the word, please. Spell the word out for me, please.
It's spelt in the English language.
Yes.
S E.
Yeah.
B.
B as in boy?
Yes.
Okay.
B as in A. Right? Yeah. And it means a star.
Okay.
With 5 points.
Okay.
For the four pillars of my arm, holding it all together. You think that's fitting of yourself?
I thank you for that. I appreciate this. You have given me a gift.
Well, you know, sometimes we get these downloads. It's like we're listening and we get a download. Sometimes we don't pay attention to it. But the download I got was, it took me back to the time you talked about names. You know, and I thought about that. And something Baba Ochi confirmed, Baba Ochi is such a wonderful man. He said he talked about his own naming process and he explains it. And he said something which I was saying in my defense, because sometimes on this side of the pond, people who have African names who haven't acquired it from birth, they will throw it against people and say, well, you know, until you get an African name, this and that and that. But Baba Ochi said he doesn't accept that. He said along these lines, he can confirm this, that it doesn't mean because you have an African name, you're going to act accordingly.
Exactly.
Meaning that, yes. Now, I actually fought that, and that was my argument all along. And here comes an elder who I respect, who everything I hear him say, I absolutely agree with. Not because I'm trying to patronize him, because I fought that before. And he's here confirming it. So in my mind, I said, that's right, because he's the living proof. And that was my argument all along. So when you raised it, Baba Sabah, when you raised it, I said, wow. You see, but I want you to understand something, and I want to make my position absolutely clear. I don't think people like me or you and those who are like us, we don't choose this path. We don't get up and say, we're going to sacrifice our time to be ridiculed. We don't sacrifice our time because we ain't getting paid for this, for financial gain. We don't do that. It's not why we do it. We do it because the divinity chose it.
Yes.
It chose it.
Yes.
I believe that.
Okay. You know, sometimes, right? You know, sometimes I have left right now, today I'm not working, but sometimes I've got my earpiece in. I'm distracted. And people are looking at me as if to say, what am I doing? And I don't give a damn. Because the reality of it is that I absolutely know at the age I'm at that this work is so necessary. And I'm just going to say this to you, my brother Sabeh. I'm going to say this to you. You know, we're not going to agree on everything. And that's how the forces of nature work, because opposite poles attract. You understand?
Yeah.
Opposite poles attract. Okay? If you put two positive together, they repel each other. You put two negative together, they repel each other. That's a fact. It's the opposite and the opposite poles, the positive and negative, which come together. Okay?
Yeah.
When people say two positive or two negative, it doesn't exist. It's the opposite poles which attract. That's nature. So we don't always have to agree. But I'm going to tell you this, my brother. I'm going to tell you this. I want you to know this. And I want my elder to hear this. The only thing I defend in this world is not black or white. I defend truth. That's it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's
yes.
the only thing I'm defending.
Yes.
I am only going to defend in this world and the next. And anytime I'm here, my energy is only going to defend truth. That's it.
That's it.
And when I recognize truth, I will defend it. So hear what, my brother. When all the negative, or not negative, if not all the non-progressive forces come against you, I want them to hear this, and I want it to be put out in the ether. Wherever you are in this lifetime, wherever you are in the next lifetime, or anywhere on this planet, I will defend that truth.
Ashe.
Against anybody.
Ashe.
I am your sharpshooter, yeah? Against all the sharpshooters out there, I am that. Let it be known. I want them to know that, because I only defend truth. You, Baba Ochi, and our brother Sabeh, I would defend anybody who I know, not believe, I know is speaking the truth. So, brother, just keep up the good work.
I thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Much. Yeah, you know, the title he's given, bestowed upon you, you can check it out through Dr. A.C. Hilliard, Nana Balfour. He called him Sabat, because that's when he was a master teacher, and he was a great man.
What he said reminded me of something. You know, when he said, sometimes you may have someone with an African name and someone with a Western name, but you cannot judge them by the name they carry. The person might have a Western name and be really conscious, and the person might have an African name and not be conscious.
Exactly.
And it's so true. It reminded me about, there was an argument years ago, people were talking about, people make judgment between light-skinned blacks and dark-skinned blacks. And I've heard that for a long time. And they believe that the dark skin had more allegiance. But you know who proved that to be totally wrong? Because Malcolm X and Clarence Thomas. Malcolm X,
good example. Red
and freckles. And yeah. Malcolm X is far more black than Thomas Clarence in his heart. So, yeah. You can't judge a book by the cover. It's the spirit inside.
It's not how you look. It's not even what you say. Yeah. It's what you do. How's your heart?
Your name.
Do you really work for the heart for African people? And that's the bottom line. And you have that feeling. Yeah.
Look at Thurgood Marshall. Thurgood Marshall could pass for white, but he said, no, I'm a black man.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, you can't always see on the surface. It's the heart. It's your right heart, the soul, the spirit. Well, and I agree with Brother Paul said, this is not something we do because we want to do it. We're not looking for recognition. We're not looking for none of that stuff. We do it because the ancestors calls us to do
exactly.
It.
Exactly. I'm diligently on this radio program Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. It's a calling. I've been doing it now for 10 years.
Yes, it's a calling.
It's a calling. I've been doing it for 10 years, trying my best, because the whole idea of this program, I try my best to bring enlightenment, to bring knowledge, to bring information, to help put something on our mind. I'm not giving you my opinion when I come on this radio program, because my opinion is profane. I can't stand this shit. Brother Franklin, believe me, I hate these mother. But so what I tried to do is bring to you and give to you the knowledge of our scholars, our historians. I give them that. All my friends, and in fact, I would hope that Tejumala Oluboni were listening, because I love him. And he's talking about, I don't give him credit. Yes, I do. I give you credit, brother. I love you, you know. But all those other scholars, those men and women who did things without foundation money, without grant money.
Yeah.
They did it for the love of our people.
Yeah.
They did the research. I look at all those old scrappers, J.A. Rogers. Drusilla Dungy Houston, I always look at Drusilla Dungy Houston, who wrote The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire. And she wrote that in 1926. Mm-hmm. In 1926. And she had a quote. She had a quote coming out of that situation. She said, out of ethnology, archaeology, paleontology, as well as science, she says, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that even Harvard and Yale and even cowardly scholarship in our people can dare not refute. This is a fact. What she said is a fact. What I bring on this radio, when I talk about ancient Kemet and all these other things, it's a fact. It's not Brother Oshie's opinion. I don't give you my damn opinion. I bring you a fact. When I bring up Brother Franklin Jones on it, it is a fact. But then she says, which is probably the beauty of the quote, she says, how can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? And that is the same today. That's the same today with Jesse and Al and all these other all these politicians, all these preachers, because these fucking, these damn preachers, they don't deal with history. They think the Bible is history.
Yes, ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. They talk about Pharaoh in an evil and negative way. Because why? The Bible talks about it. The Exodus. No, it's crazy. Let me get another caller in here. Brother Jay, good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening, OC? And to my main man, Franklin Jones. How you doing?
Right on.
How you doing, Franklin?
Listen. But the OC is positive.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Franklin.
You always bring a positive energy when you call. You're always in an uplifting spirit when you call. So I always smile.
Frankly, yeah. let's move forward. I just have a question for you. Do you know what Project 2025 is?
No, I'm not sure. So fill me in.
No. You need to do your research. Let me finish, please. You need to do your research on it and make your opinion as the scholar that you present yourself to be.
And he is.
All I'm going to say to you is that you need to know what Project 2025 is. Incorporate into your message you preach. That's all I'm going to say.
And I agree.
I agree with you, Jay.
Go ahead, Franklin.
Allow me to respectfully respond. I research everything we discuss. I research every day. That's what I do. When I ask you to tell me something about it, I want you to give me a summary. When you give me a summary, it also helps the listeners. And then it might be something that I'm familiar with, but I might not know by the term that you're using. That's why I said, give me a summary. I might be familiar with it.
My summary is different than maybe what you would expect based on your knowledge and your wisdom and your presentation. That's why I said to you and asked you, do you know what Project 25 is? Because what needs to be done is, as Franklin Jones, who puts out a presentation on the white man and what he's doing, this is an element of what the white man is doing. So you need to be able to first identify, which I told you what it is, and then, as you say, do your research, and you'll understand why I'm not saying anything or giving you a synopsis
I have a question. You just said Project 25. Are you referring to Project 2025?
Yes.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Project 2025.
Project 2025?
You just said 25. Okay, the presidential transition. Okay, I got you.
Right. Project 2025. I mentioned it about a month or so ago, when I got wind of it, and it definitely needs to be discussed. And this is part of the Donald Trump winning of the presidency, because this is also tied into the evangelical right-wing Christian nationalist movement. Okay? This 2025.
That's one of the mistakes, Oshi. That's one of the mistakes that people are making in regards to Project 2025.
Okay.
They saying it's that this is something that will be implemented if Donald Trump is elected in the office. No. This will be implemented on a more advanced level if any Republican is placed in office.
Okay.
Because certain elements of it is going to be implemented regardless if Biden gets into office. It's just that they won't be able to totally put as much as they wish to put in to, public sphere. So we have to look at it as a semi-blueprint of what's to come. Remember, you got this situation that just happened with IV fertilization or whatever. I ain't trying to have no babies or nothing, so I don't pay no mind. But it's also important. Then you have to look at what happened with abortion. So slowly but surely, they're picking at certain fundamental things that have been in place for the last 60 years to where, as the point that I'm about to make is, we're basically heading back to Jim Crowism on a level to where, as the slave will feel somewhat comfortable because he has a dollar in his pocket. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you?
Yeah.
You think about all of the things that have supposedly, listen to the word, supposedly been gained in the civil rights movement over the last 60 years, it's heading to the point that the only thing that's going to survive is interracial marriage, because one of the culprits who could get rid of it is married to a dog. That's the only thing that may, in the 60 years that we have supposedly, I'm listening to the words that I'm saying, supposedly progress as a people is being chipped away and taken away and redefined and reworked. But the only thing that's going to survive is your so-called right to sleep with a dog and to marry a dog. And that's crazy. And the sad thing is, I know Irv is going to get on me for saying this, the Negro don't see it, don't understand it, ain't looking into it. And unfortunately, 10, 20 years from now, when the only thing that you could honestly say is you're a slave again, but you're just rewarded with a couple of dollars.
Well, let me say this in my understanding of what we as African people and those who I listen to, those who I read, those who, and I read a swath of people, so it doesn't matter. I don't just say I'm only reading these people. No, you got to read them all, and you got to listen to all of it. I listen to NPR. I listen to public radio. I mean, I listen to it all. I want to get as much information as possible to make an intelligent decision based upon what is being presented. Yeah. And there's no doubt in my mind. I agree with you, brother, brother Jay. They're trying to set this up for us to be put in slavery again. But my contention is this. We make the big move to go back home to Africa. We put it on the table for those who are here. Just as Dr. Clark used to say, either you're going to be in the house or you're going to be out of the house. If you in the house, this is the move we're going to make. If you out of the house, it's up to you. You do your thing with them, you know. And you take what consequences that befall you with them. But we're moving here. And we're moving here not with the attitude that we came with back when Liberia was created. And there were some of us here who went to Liberia with the attitude that we were better than them because we had been in America for 300 years. And their attitude was we are better, even though we've been colonized, we weren't enslaved. And this is and this is a land that is native to us. So we have these divisions that are still persistent today in Liberia and other parts of Africa. So the main focus is to rid Africa of the ignorance that has been so pervasive over this time, to join Africans to make us, help us understand that this land and these resources are ours. They're not Indian, they're not Chinese, they're not Arab, they're not Caucasian, they are ours, and we must control them.
Hey, Oshi, let me say this to you, and you know I agree with what you're saying in principle, but the reality is, and we have to be honest with ourselves, what you just presented there would only be, at best, 5% of black people that would go along with that, brother. I'm sorry
if
to say
if that's all it is, brother.
It pains me to say
if that's all it
is. I believe there's only 5% that would go along with the vision of moving back to Africa and doing the necessary things for our survival.
You know,
I believe, let me finish. I believe that the other 95%, there would be a great portion that would be satisfied with being enslaved. I'm not going to put a percentage on it, but I would say that out of that 95%, there would be a percentage that would fight here, and then the rest would submit to their enslavement. I'm sorry to say it. It's a painful statement, but I believe it's a truthful statement based on, like you said, my research and study.
But based
Jay,
upon...
And let me
okay,
say,
no, hold on,
let me
hold on, Jay, hold on, Jay,
let
hold on.
Let me finish what I say to you, O. I'll tell you why I say it to you.
Okay, be quick with it.
I was at the pinnacle of black empowerment in this country. I was at the pinnacle with Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark. I was part of that movement. And I'm telling you, from that period in the, I would say, the 80s, when ASCAP and that whole situation was developing and growing to where we are today, I stand by it. Because there is no movement, brother, at this present time that is on the level that what was going on at that time.
Okay.
And I know
okay.
that for a fact
okay.
because I was involved.
All right.
Allow me to.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, Brother Franklin.
Yes. There is lots of marriage to what Brother Jay just said. A lot of times, you know, we talk about our condition. We don't talk about how we got here. He's right. If you try to do it, go back to Africa now, many African Americans would not go back. They've been totally socialized.
I
many
agree.
Consider themselves Americans
I agree.
Rather than African. Many are embarrassed of Africa. There has been a deliberate, it wasn't always this way, because during the Italy War between Ethiopia and Italy, thousands of African Americans signed up to go to the war to fight on behalf of Africa.
Exactly.
But this denied them, but allowed Italians to go and fight on behalf of Italy. Also, during the 1960s, African Americans embraced Africa. Now, here's what happened in 1960s, why we are the way we are now. Social scientists determined that African Americans had developed an allegiance. They said a romanticized about Africa that hindered our allegiance from growing towards the United States. It hindered our patriotism. So they started a media propaganda campaign to denigrate the image of Africa in the minds of African Americans. They made Africa into a source of shame. So therefore, this caused the African Americans to perceive the enslavement of our ancestors as being more of a rescue mission. Once it was perceived as a rescue mission that took us in the backwardness of Africa, it made us feel that slavery ultimately benefited us. So therefore, many African Americans now feel indebted to America. And many of us won't even seek reparations because we feel that the America did us a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Our mindset is the way it is because of social engineering. That social engineering is the reason why many won't go back to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Many are ashamed of Africa. Many today, many African Americans get angry, are offended when called an African, but smile when called a nigger. This is our reality. We have to understand the mindset. So before we can make those type of moves, we have to start addressing what was done to the minds of our people. Once our people's minds have been reoriented, they need to make those moves. But it could take people who are mentally enslaved to do something, they're not going to do it. They don't know that their minds have been socialized to think in ways that protect the system of white supremacy. That's why they must be educated. Then they have to be educated to see Africa through their own eyes and not through the eyes that the white man has given them.
Right. And see, the quest for us as African people and African educators, African scholars, those who understand and believe and understand clearly that the salvation is African. When I read the Enyasasim that Baba Baruti writes, he says sovereignty is the final and only solution. What is the end game? People ask all the time, what y'all talking about? What's the end game then? Well, the end game is sovereignty for African people. But what does that mean? It means that nobody outside of us determines what happens with us. We are our own arbitrators. We are our own direction. We are our own work that needs to be done. It is us. And so
we have to address what's been done to our minds. We have
there's no doubt about it. It is the mind. It is the mind. What I'm saying, Brother Franklin, is that when the mind is right, that's the direction. It is clear. When our minds are right, when we finally have embraced the African mind, when we finally embrace the African mind, it is about doing for self, is believing in ourselves, is trusting one another, respecting one another, our women, our children, our families, our community. We don't care about moving anywhere else. We're moving out of this madness into a situation where we can grow, where we can think, where we can build, where we can use our talents and our energies to forge a new way and a new direction. You know, you're right. All of these things that we have created, when this society, when crackers consistently told us that we ain't nothing, that we have no mental capacity, but yet we did all of this. And we did it all in his. So once we embraced what we have done and the possibilities of what we can still do, because it is still within us, and embrace what our ancestors have done, you know, we're going to be a different people. And I agree with Jay. No. Just like the brother said, Marcus Garvey said, there's a lot of us who ain't no good here. And if they go to Africa, they ain't going to be no good there. To me, the ones that are going to go are the ones that clearly understand it is a new day. And I'm not going to something where I'm going to be living in the lap of luxury. No, I'm going there to forge a new way. And that's going to be work. I'm got to lay a foundation. I got to build. I got to harvest. I got to do all these. I got to work. This is not something that to be romanticized, but it's something for our future. Yes, go ahead, Brother Paul.
Excuse me. Let me just make a small interruption. Let me ask you a question, Bob Osby and Brother Sabah. Let me ask you a question. What percentage of the world population is America? American. What percentage of the global population makes up the Americans?
The United States or North America,
Canada? The whole of the United States. What population
the United States
do they represent in the world?
Out of 300-something million people, out of the billion people, I don't know, less than 10%, 5%, something like that.
Well, let me tell you. Yeah, it's 4%.
It's 4%.
Between 4% and 1%. Okay. The whole population of America do not make 5% of the global population.
Okay.
Do you know what percentage of African Americans make up the African people on the planet? Do you know what percentage?
Oh, we what make up. Oh, yeah, we make up a tremendous percentage because we're.
No. What is it, Paul?
You need to think about that. What percentage of African Americans who define themselves as African Americans make up the global African people on the planet?
Well, if you're just talking about African Americans, that's minuscule. Yeah. That ain't even a percentage.
All right. That's less than 1%.
Right.
1%. Okay.
So those who identify themselves as African Americans make up less than 1% of the African people on the planet. Less than 1%. Now, let me tell you this. When you look at, you know, facts and figures, they say in order to change, for a revolution to be successful or to change an event anywhere in any country, you need at least 3%. Yeah, 3%. You talk about the American Revolution or any revolution on the planet, you'll find in American Revolution, less than 2% of people involved actually done the fighting, less than 2%. Okay? So the reality of it is, right, for us as a people on the planet, unless we, I ain't talking about these ones are so indoctrinated and so indoctrinated out of their mind. I'm talking about those who are conscious I'm appealing to.
Yeah.
And unless we have a global mindset, unless we can think out the constraints of our indoctrination and brainwashing and programming. That's why I love you, your work so much, Brother Sabat. I love it, because what you're trying to do is take us out of that mindset. And unfortunately for some of us, we are so indoctrinated. We are so programmed that we can't get out of it. You can hear it. We can't get out of it. We are so tightly wrapped with the flag around our neck to it's choking us.
Yeah.
And then we pretend we got something to say. You ain't got nothing to say. Because unless you can get out of that mindset, you're not talking to nobody but yourself. Yeah. Look, the facts, this is the thing with technology. You can go on the technology in seconds, check it. You don't have to listen to an idiot telling you nonsense. You can go and check it. If you're only less than 1%, right, how are you going to control the world? You can only control the world through might. This is what these nonsense, devil, stupid asses have been doing. But other people now have got the might. They've got the weapons. You know, let me tell you this, and I don't think you all know this. You know, Putin, years ago, because I watch RT. RT is Russian TV, yeah. Right? It's a propaganda channel of the Russians. I've been watching it for years, from it started. And I remember they showed a weapon they had, a supersonic weapon. Let's remember, the first people to travel out of space weren't Americans. It was the Russians.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay? The Americans lied to us. The Americans tried to give us some bull crap about they went to the moon, which is a total lie. Okay?
Yeah, lie.
Because they wanted to use this lie. Because they
right.
to pretend that they're so far ahead. The Russians are further ahead in technology than the Americans. Believe that.
Yeah,
the other day, they produced a weapon, right? And they don't keep it quiet. Supersonic. And they flew it around the world. You don't know that. They flew it around the world. And I saw on the Russian TV the general, American generals. They're not going to show this in America, but they showed it here on Russian TV. The American general said, we did not know they had actually got that to work. That's what they were saying. They've got, and what that means, let me tell you what that means. When you fire a supersonic missile, you can't shoot it down. So that means that your fleet, your warships have been made redundant. So when you move your warships to a country, you can't shoot down the missiles. They take you out. So what I'm trying to bust is this programming we've been programmed into, this nonsense. And I'm saying, and I'm coming back to us as a people, looking at this, coming away from the propaganda and all the indoctrination, I'm trying to say us, look, see, Barbara, what's really happening in the world is a colonial plan. The first country to be colonized was that place you're living in, America.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, to this day, it's not stopped being colonized. It's the same thing going on. You only think you're not colonized, but you are. And let me tell you why I know you are. You speak English. English was the language of the colonizer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was used as a weapon. So you got to ask yourself the question, if you know you're an African, why the hell are you speaking English? Because we've all been colonized.
Yes,
so
right.
For us as a people, our role on this planet is very different. Your role as an African is different than the people you live with who don't look like you. And let me tell you what that role is. So come to the understanding that we all are still colonized. All of us. Not just you in America. All of us on the planet.
Yes.
As long as we're speaking the language which we know is not our language because we came from Africa.
Yeah.
The language that we'll be given is our colonizer's language. Every book we read, the book of economics, the pseudoscience called economics, the book of law, all these books. You know something? Last thing I'm going to say to you, because I want you to know this, Brother Franklin. You know, it enshrined law in Philadelphia, right? You know, still to this day, it's illegal under your constitution, but they still run it. Bar law, the English bar law, which they run in your country, is illegal in the constitution, but they still run it. This is the power these people still have over you. It under the constitution, when in the war of independence, it was independence against Britain. But yet what they did, Britain, very cleverly, they gave you the idea that you won the war of independence. You didn't, because every president you've had has been English. George Washington was bloody English. They were all English.
Yeah.
This is what I'm trying to make you understand. So when you get wrapped up in your politics, I'm telling you, there's a bigger plan being played out against you. And it's the same plan we started with. It was a colonial plan to colonize the people, then to colonize them. And most of these spokespeople, when you hear them talk, especially the ones who gravitate to the nationalism, their minds are colonized.
Paul, listen to this. When you watch the news here in the States, when you watch the news, whether it's a national news, local news, they all give reverence to England, to Britain, to the royal family.
They always
talk about this. They always implement this because that tie.
The royal events, royal funerals, we all watch it.
Yes. Royal weddings, royal this, royal that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is the only thing I want to say. You know, Baba Ochi, you do the most amazing work, and so do you, Baba Sabat. But listen, I just want to put so the listener can understand. The plan is a global plan, and they have us. And the thing is, to cement their plan, to get their plan to work, you all know they've been robbing Africa. And they are not going to stop. So and I hear when you say, Baba Ochi, we need to go back to Africa. But for me personally, I know that we're not all going to get there.
Right.
So for me, it must start where we're at. And it starts in the mind. So all the things you do, what you and Brother Sabed do, that's where it starts. We have to change the minds of the people and make them know where the damage is coming from. It doesn't start in your country. It starts right here. The police was not formulated in your country. It was started here. The police force which brutalized you there, the plan, was started when these people were holding down the Irish. They were holding down the Irish in Ireland. Yeah? And then it came to London. The first policeman's name was Robert Peel. That's why you call us Bobby. Bobby is short for Robert. Okay? Mm-hmm. It was started here. So all the what your police are doing, they get it from here. And they still get it from here. These people still go to your country and tell them what to do. So when this idiot tells me, or I hear this idiot say, oh, I'm trying to tell you what to do. Listen, man, wake up. The plans come from here. And unless people understand that, you don't know what you're talking about. You yourself, Sabet, you said, you talk about the Tavistock Institute. And you need to drill that home. How they're writing the plans here and sending them around the world. It's not just America. It's all around the world they send it. Before they bombed Hiroshima, they had to ask the Queen. I don't think them people know that. They had to ask the Queen for permission. Mm. Please wake up.
Mm-hmm. Brother Irv, how you doing? Brother Irv, you there? I know you're traveling. But you called in. Brother Irv.
Baba Ochi, you can hear me.
I can hear you. Go ahead, my friend. How you doing? Ochi,
I'm coming. I'm just good. I'm coming through St. Louis right now, but I was listening to what Brother Paul was saying, and he was right on point. What he was saying was so real and so poignant. Sometimes I really believe that Brother Paul knows what he's talking about. It amazes me. I'm just being funny. No, he's right on point. I'm telling you, I agree with them. And it was, the last thing he said was that they had to ask for permission to bomb Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And that type of warfare, when you kill 3,000 Americans in Pearl Harbor, and then you kill 200,000 people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, is the same type of warfare they're doing now in the Gaza Strip. You kidnap 200, 300 Israelis, and then we're going to take out 30,000 of you Gazans, Palestinians, to let you know this is how we roll. You take one of us, we take 100,000 of you. Mm-hmm. So Paul is absolutely correct where warfare comes from and where that can come from. Brother, great show, by the way. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm trying to get to St. Louis. We drove last night from Baltimore to Indiana, and now we're going to
Right on.
600 miles. So we're getting there. We almost got on a plane and said, the hell with this.
No, you guys can make it. It's going to be a great trip, you two. Love y'all.
If I'm still married by the time I get back, get to L.A. I love this woman, man. I tell you, but oh, my goodness. Getting married is fun. Staying married is a
work. Traveling.
It's work that I welcome.
Right on. Traveling grace to both of y'all, brother. All right.
Thank you, Baba Ochi.
Okay.
Thank you, Baba Ochi. Behave yourself.
Yes, sir.
behave yourself, Irv.
Jay's talking about
stay out of trouble, Irv. Stay out of trouble.
All right.
Act nice. You well, know, listen. Anytime you with the queen, you got to be on your best behavior.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be ramifications.
All right.
Enjoy yourself, brother.
We only got a few more minutes. Let me give this time
ahead,
up to brother Franklin Jones. Brother Franklin.
I want to say, Brother Paul, for calling in. I love Common. I love his spirit.
The spirit
in him, the love for his people. I know his spirit.
Yes.
I know that light. And I know it's sincere, and I always enjoy listening to him. The brother is on point, definitely on point. Thanks for calling, Brother Paul. I thank you for the name, Brother Sabak. I'm going to use it. I thank you. I'm a person. I don't take names from somebody I don't respect. I have to respect you to take it, and I do respect you. So I thank you for that, my brother. Thanks for calling in, and I appreciate your wisdom.
All right.
And I thank you, Brother Oshie, for having me on. It's always a pleasure to do this, and I love since we've been doing this. I realize that the when we call, when we have these conversations, it's now at a high level. When we first started these, people called in, were trying to throw Jesus at us, throw Willie Lynch at us. But
right.
I see now it has now risen. Collectively, our conversation have heightened, and we have a greater understanding of our plight and our condition, and we are better for it. And I believe that the listeners who listen, they have become wiser also. So you are doing a great service to the masses.
Well, I mean, I feel that it's important that we have radio programs like this, you know, on a constant basis, that we have individuals and men and women who articulate the issues of our time and our day. And do it unapologetically. Do it without any fear, because we need the help. We need the knowledge. Yeah.
Yes. And there are many out there who are tired of believing in things that insult their own intelligence, and they want to hear what we're talking about. They're tired of believing in myths and fairy tales. So this is what they want to hear. Truth. Liberating truth.
Yes. Yes. So, I appreciate you, brother, and I can't, I look forward to the next time. And in fact, what Brother Paul talked about was the Tavistock Institute.
When are we going to do that? I want to do that.
Let's do that. Let's do that. I'll tell you what, let's give ourselves 2 weeks to prepare.
Let's do that.
Let's give ourselves 2 weeks and another Friday.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
We will do it.
Because, yeah.
The whole program on that. Great.
Yeah. So, the 22nd.
Okay, it is.
The 22nd. Friday the 22nd. Brother Franklin Jones, the Tavistock Institute. Because,
all right, brother.
You know, because a lot of us, we've heard of it. And, you know, also, too, when you get a chance to, if you can, put some of that project 2025.
Yes, I'm gonna you have to definitely start reading. Okay, brother, you take care. One love and peace. Thanks for having me on your program.
Right on, brother. Thank you. Sister Habia, how you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed, and I just wanted to say shout out to your wonderful guest. And enjoyed your program, and I agree with so much of what he was saying, and I like the title Sabbat for his title too. I agree with that.
Yes,
you and him.
He's a teacher. He is.
You know, in the league with our wonderful Baba Asa Hilliard. So
that's right.
It was good. And one thing I really liked, he said that we should always keep in mind is that. When the Europeans are falling out and showing all how destructive they are and how incompetent they are, and he said that he rejoiced at that, and so I said I say to that too, because they've fallen apart and showing their weakness, and you know they try to get us gobbled up into the hysteria of it all. You know, like they got the Trump hysteria and, you know, Trump against the other parts of the government. And so we just don't fall into that hysteria and just rejoice at the you know, their downfall.
All right, my sister. Peace to you. Thank you. Yeah. Brother Lusk, I apologize, Brother Lusk. How are you?
No need to apologize.
Well, I missed your call. I missed your call.
Yeah, no. Yes. Yeah, no problem. I had to jump off, but I wanted to ensure that I jumped it back on because this is the kind and type of discussion that I know I need to have. And with Irv and all respect to him and his travels and everyone that's on the phone and, you know, it's a learning experience for me. I wanted to make sure that Franklin understands that, you know, I have his book, and I've been doing my share of homework and reading through his book. So it's just culminating and coming together as I listen to this program, reading his book, and living and learning. So thank you so very much for picking my call and always to support the efforts that you're doing, Brother Oshie. You know that.
I appreciate you, dear brother. Thank you for listening, man. I really
do.
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir.
Right. And thank you for all the times that you send me stuff, because you do. You keep me on my toes, brother. And you keep me informed, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Brother Lus.
You're welcome, sir.
All right, peace. Alrighty. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. A good weekend. Enjoy yourself and be safe. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Habibi Fahadie. Habibi Fahadie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a great day, a great weekend. You be safe. See you back here on Monday.